Well, hi, welcome to our first ever Filmmaker Film Watcher podcast. I'm filmmaker Richard DiGregorio.
And I'm film watcher Greg Ralph.
And we're just going to chew the fat and talk about what we're very passionate about, and that's film.
From a filmmaker and a film watcher perspective.
So every week we're going to be talking about a film which we've both seen, or I might disagree with, or Greg might agree with. And this week's film is Forget Paris. Mickey, Billy Crystal, and Ellen, Deborah Winger, have been together for a number of years. And we trace the history of their relationship, from their first meeting and whirlwind romance in Paris, through to something based in the more mundane and frustrating and sometimes fracturing challenges of everyday life together. Their story is told by friends who gradually arrive in a restaurant to meet a newcomer in their circle who doesn't know Mickey and Ellen and who gradually becomes bonded with them as she goes on their journey through its retelling. This 1995 film was co-written and directed by Billy Crystal.
And we chose this because we disagree about it.
Mm-hmm.
So just to nail our colours to the mast,
yeah.
You're not terribly fond of it, even though you're rather a Billy Crystal fan.
Oh, I love Billy Crystal. I think he's wonderful. I loved him in When Harry Met Sally. All of his films are great. But one of my favourites is one of his lesser known but also critically panned movie, which was Mr. Saturday Night, which I
haven't seen, actually.
I really love that movie.
Whereas, for me, I can go hot and cold on him, and yet, funnily enough, he's in some of my favourite films. He's in Forget Paris,
mm-hmm.
He's in When Harry Met Sally, and of course he's in The Princess Bride, which you know I love.
That's one we can agree with, yeah.
Yeah. So you like him. I'm kind of AC/DC about him, but I love this film and you don't.
I just find it clunky.
Yeah, I know you do. So let's start with structure, because I think structure is where we particularly disagree.
And so I fell away with this movie in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
I just didn't like it actually being told from the best friend's perspective, all these friends sitting around a table.
Talking
about their friend. But, his friend, like Joe Montaigne, right? He's a great actor. I love Joe Montaigne. He's fantastic. But he's in this scene, and he's talking about his friend falling in love in Paris. He wasn't even there for these situations, but yet he's talking about them like he was there. And it's like the whole film, I mean, can't we just see the film from Billy Crystal's perspective?
Well, that's a choice you make as an artist in how you frame your story. But I think you've missed the point there. The point is not Joe Mantegna and the friends. The point is the girl, the fiance.
Mm.
One of the things because I saw this at the movies when it came out. What did we say? It was 95, so a long time ago. But when I saw it, one of the things I really loved was how she had gone on this, kind of date with her fiance to meet all his friends and so on, his circle. And she starts hearing about one of these couples, and she's getting more and more engrossed in their narrative and getting tearful and emotional and excited and everything else about these people she's never met, who she's about to. And the bit I loved most was at the very, very end of the film, as you've got all these other couples, I think there's three of them all together, who start to arrive and tell the story about this relationship and pick the story up from the others. So you've got this thing where, they all know each other really well and they know this narrative. They've shared this narrative before. And they pick it up. And then finally, at the very end of the film, after we've been on the same journey mm-hmm. that this fiancé is going on, where we hear the whole story, the highs and the lows of the romance, the marriage, the falling apart, the coming together again, and all the trials and tribulations. They walk in at the end of the film, Deborah Winger and what's his name, Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
And she is hysterical about, like, she's just so overjoyed to meet them and she's weeping, and they have no idea who she is. I thought that was such an important, minor, important thing in the film, was her, this kind of second-tier yeah. character. And in some way, she was us. She was going on this journey about this couple. And by the end, I feel really warm to this couple. And she was doing exactly the same thing. And yet they're saying, who are you?
But the thing is, I felt that completely took me out of their relationship completely. These friends around the table talking. I found it quite creepy, to tell you the truth.
Creepy?
A little bit creepy.
All right.
There's friends talking about this. Oh, you should have seen Mickey. You should have seen Mickey do this. Oh, my God. Have you heard about Mickey and the fiancé?
Do you talk about your friends?
Yeah, but not in the way of romanticized. Like, I don't think you should hear about my friend when he went to Paris. Oh my God, he's got this, you know, he met this girl.
Yeah, so straight away, and, you're putting on an American accent. That's right. So, yeah, we're not American. But don't do that about your friends and tell the stories.
No, I don't care. No, I don't talk about you, you know.
I talk about you all the time. Maybe.
About, you know, how you met, how you romanticized her or whatnot. I just find it quite a little bit creepy. You know?
See, I do. I tell stories, and I tell stories about friends, as well as my own story as well. But I do that, not to the same level of detail, but, you know, I don't
think the thing is, they're very detailed. The friends are very detailed about what happened in specific moments, which they would have no idea about it.
Yeah, but there's that moment in the film where the best friend, Joe Mantegna, engaged to this other character, he says, you know, the night that the main couple, Crystal and Winger, first have sex, he says, and he never told me about that. So he told him all his other stuff in his life, and yet this was so core and important that that was off limits. It worked for me.
You know, it was the relationship stuff between Billy Crystal and Deborah Winger. It works throughout the film. It does work as their story.
It does. I mean, it's couple. There are clunky. Yeah,
there are clunky bits.
And you know, I love Deborah Winger at that stage as well, in particular. But yeah.
And you know, the Billy Crystal, yes, he does his old routine, and the lots of routines you've seen in every other movie he does. But I mean, I love that routine. I loved it in City Slickers. I watched that many times. I really admire him.
I haven't seen City Slickers. Keep going.
It's a classic.
Yeah, well, you love Billy Crystal, I know.
But have you seen a Western? Do you like Westerns?
Yeah.
It's a great movie, City Slickers. A young Jake Gyllenhaal, isn't it?
I know. I do know that. I know my trivia.
But it just pulled me out of it. The whole best friends thing pulled me out of that. In terms of structure of the film, just pulled me out of there.
So tell me, have you seen The Joy Luck Club?
No.
Okay.
That's one I haven't seen.
That's another film I love. And I love it. There's sentimental reasons about, you know, when I saw it and so on. But as the film itself, it does something which I think is similar to Forget Paris, which is that you hear all these stories, but you keep coming back to this kind of central place to launch off to the story. So in Forget Paris, you start off with the engaged couple,
mm-hmm.
and he starts telling her about Mickey and Ellen, the mm-hmm. main couple. And then a bit later on, another couple arrive, and they then take over the next part of the story, which they probably know better than the first guy. And then the third couple arrives, and they do the same thing. In The Joy Luck Club, what I loved about it was, and I haven't read the book at all, but mm-hmm. in the film, as I watched it in the cinema, it felt to me like I could almost see the narrative structure mapped out visually, like a four-leaf clover.
Right.
And so in the story, there's the young woman whose mother, I think, has recently died, and her mother always played, is it Mahjong, is that how you say it? You know, the tile game, the complicated tile game.
Yeah, I know what I mean, yeah.
Her mother always played with these three other women. And I think in the story she comes and joins them at this one particular time. But you hear the stories of all four women and their daughters. So it's a film about mothers and daughters of women who are from, the mothers are all from China who come to America and so on. But the story keeps coming back to this game of, I think it's Mahjong, where so you follow the story of, let's say, mother number one, and you go back in time and you see her history and then her relationship with her daughter, and eventually it comes back to this table where the game's being played, and then it goes off again with the second mother and so on and so on. Yeah, and this for me was the same kind of thing. It was it works for me. Sorry.
No, I think that it might have worked well in The Joy Luck Club, but I just didn't think it worked well at all in this film. But even the beginning of Forget Paris, I still think the way they fall in, the way they he's an asshole in this at the beginning. I don't see how Deborah Winger would actually likes him so much from being a dick.
Yeah, I think you're right.
They've lost the dad in the coffin, and he's an asshole to her. She's not very great to him, and then suddenly
I don't agree about that. Oh, you don't think she's good to him?
Oh, she's okay, but there's nothing there to say that she likes him at all. And then
she feels sorry for him to start with.
Yeah, but
and she's engaged in a way that I'm not. She's engaged with his sense of humour.
Yes,
and she actually picks him up on that a little bit. You know, like she has a go at him.
But you know, she turns up at the funeral.
I just think that's basic human decency.
I think she would see this every day in her job.
A lost coffin.
a lost coffee, anything between customers, unhappy customers with something. I don't think she would think anything of it. I think it was the wrong reason for her to fall for him.
I think you're overanalytical. It's a romance. It's a romantic comedy
that meet cute moment. That's the meet cute moment in your romantic comedy, right? Look. In terms of structure, in terms of your romantic comedy structure, you got to have your meet cute moment. And things, I think they got it completely wrong. They based the meet cute moment on a coffin and a dead guy.
Oh, look, it worked for me. Is this where Richard Cross will trouble you with this scarf? Look, it worked for me. I mean, it's funny. You and I just sat down before to watch the start of it again. I had totally forgotten that opening sequence on the basketball court. I remembered it as being somewhere in the film, but not the start. Because for me, the film starts in a restaurant when you start hearing the story. So the bit before that is kind of like, and you know, I
find that okay. You see, because I don't mind. Like you're introducing your protagonist, right? Which is Billy Crystal, right? He's there, and you're into him, and you're watching him, and then suddenly it focuses on the best friend. Suddenly they're in a bar, and he's going, "Hey, my best friend Mickey."
But see, that, for me, that's the problem. I think it should have started in the restaurant.
That's such exposition, and who they are.
And he could have told that story to her, which in fact is what he was doing. You didn't know that's what was going on. To me, because the whole thing started in the restaurant and kept coming back to the restaurant and ends, I think, with the end titles as they're all greeting each other in the restaurant when the main couple arrives, for me, that all made sense. It was the bit at the start that really stuck out like a sore thumb.
It gets better as the film goes on, okay? Well, I remember the first time I watched it.
It gets darker.
Lost me in the first 20 minutes. Whereas this got was actually not badly reviewed. I mean, I think Mr. Saturday Night was panned by the critics, but that was to me one of his best performances. It was beautifully directed. I didn't find it boring whatsoever. David Paymer in that is a sensational job. He got an Oscar nomination for it.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Whereas Forget Paris, I just found it a little bit clunky. But anyway.
But I loved it. Sorry.
So that's Forget Paris.
For you and for me.
So another element of our podcast, which we'll do every week as well, is talk about films which we really should have seen, but haven't.
And what you mean by that is that one of us has seen it and the other hasn't.
That's right.
Okay.
And can't believe that he hasn't.
Particularly if we're putting ourselves out there as film commentators, this is kind of the embarrassing confession bit, isn't it?
This is the embarrassing confession.
Bless me, for I have neglected to see Psycho. Now, this is embarrassing for two reasons.
I actually cannot believe this.
I know. I've owned the DVD, I don't know how many years, but anyway. It's embarrassing for two reasons. It's embarrassing because it's, you know, it's one of those films that really is a landmark in its own right. But secondly, because I love Hitchcock. Mm-hmm. And I love Hitchcock of the era of the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
So between about, I'm not actually sure of the chronology, but around the time of, you know, Vertigo, Rope.
Which I haven't seen. That's my confession.
Have you seen Rope?
I've seen Rope. Yeah. Rope was amazing. Yes. I haven't seen Vertigo. That's my confession.
Okay, we'll come back to that. But so that era, that and I like his earlier films as well, but that era really is, you know, his peak for me.
Mm-hmm.
All the way through to Psycho, I think, because I haven't seen it. The Birds, absolutely. And then it really starts to tail off. So you talk about films like Torn Curtain, even though I like Julie Andrews.
Mm.
Torn Curtain, Topaz. What was the last one he made? Family
Affair? Oh, yeah.
Affair, yeah. That's what's right, it called? Yeah, Family Something. Even Frenzy, the one about the tie strangler in London. Mm-hmm. I like bits of it, but I think things are kind of wearing off there a bit. But sort of 50s, maybe late 40s through to mid 60s. Look, I'm there. Love Hitchcock. Psycho just
brought me into Hitchcock. I watched Psycho first. That was my first Hitchcock experience. I was 14 or 13.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was amazing. And then when Psycho, well, I was 14. I know I was into the horror and the scariness of it, obviously. But it was, just freaked the absolute shit out of me. This mother in the window. The whole look of the film, the music.
You know, there's a TV series at the moment about it, don't you? A prequel TV
series? I haven't watched it. I've watched all of the Psycho films, but I haven't watched
this. Oh, really? You watched the remake, the blow for blow remake by Gus Van Sant.
I watched that one, which is a disaster. Right. It's a disaster.
I haven't seen any of these.
Okay. Well, don't watch the remake. But that got me into Hitchcock. But then I started watching early Hitchcock. I started watching, you know, 39 Steps and was amazing. The one on the train as well. What's that?
Strangers on the Train?
Yes. Yeah. And
The Man Who Knew Too Much.
I knew that's the one. That's another one.
Both versions.
Mm-hmm. Lady Vanishes. That was one of my favourite as well.
And what about the one early one he made based on the Josephine Tay book? Book was called A Shilling for Candles, and the film is called Young and Innocent, I think.
I haven't seen that one, though. I love watching the early Hitchcock, because you're right. I think the
50s... Dial In for Murder.
Yeah, what's another one?
To Catch a Thief. Mm. Yeah, anyway.
He's a master. The
North by Northwest.
I think with Hitchcock, why I love watching, even though they are, you know, early films, and you can tell he's learning from those films, and you're right, I think that period of the 50s and 60s is his peak. But the early films, you just see where he's going. You just see the progression to that peak point, which I love. But I haven't seen Vertigo. Now, there's a reason I haven't seen Vertigo.
No, before we get on to Vertigo, yeah. I just want to finish on Psycho.
Okay.
Because I think the reasons that you love it and the reason I love Hitchcock are the reasons I haven't actually seen it.
Okay.
Because I'm a wuss with films. So you like the shock horror, whatever. I don't like getting too spooked. I don't mind getting spooked, but I don't like violence, stabbing, gore. And I know that you don't actually see in the famous shower scene, you don't see actually the knife making contact, but it kind of spooks me, and that's why I've probably never quite done it. The other reason is that I do love Hitchcock so much, I think I'm frightened that I'll be disappointed. What if I don't like it?
Okay.
So we'll see.
I think it has dated, okay, in terms of its shock value. So I don't think you're going to find it as shocking as what, say, it was when it first opened. So it's like people watching The Exorcist now.
Which I haven't seen.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah,
it's again, too scary.
Jeepers. You've got to see The Exorcist. It's a classic. Okay. But I think, let's talk about it when you've seen Psycho.
Vertigo.
Now, I've always wanted to see Vertigo. It's one of those Hitchcock films, which is a classic.
And I nag you about it.
Oh, we haven't even mentioned Rear Window, which is my...
Rear Window, yes.
No, I say Psycho is my favourite. No, Rear Window is my favourite.
And we haven't mentioned High Anxiety.
Oh, I haven't seen that either.
No, it's Mel Brooks' spoof of Hitchcock.
Yes, it is. But the reason I haven't seen Vertigo is I was waiting for it at the Astor Cinema, which is this beautiful cinema in Melbourne, which plays a lot of old films, and it's just a wonderful cinema experience. And I usually do a double bill with Rear Window. Now, Rear Window is one of my favourites, and I always wanted to see with Vertigo. But it's always on a date, which I just can't make. But I've always wanted to see it on the big screen in 70mm as they play it in the Astor. So,
which is how I've seen it. But why do you like Rear Window? I mean, I don't not like it, but why is that your favourite?
I think the screenplay is so clever, and the performances are so wonderful.
And the stage.
It's just the way they've set it and the voyeuristic nature of that film, which just gets you in and makes you want to watch.
You know, the thing about Rear Window in relation to Vertigo, and I've had to think about whether this is true of any other films, but those are two films that in which Hitchcock legitimises something which is not normally legitimised. So Rear Window legitimises voyeurism. Vertigo legitimises necrophilia. So do you know anything about the story of Vertigo?
No, I know nothing about Vertigo, so don't tell me anything about it.
Yeah, actually, I don't think I can.
No, don't say anything. It's just like Psycho. I'm not going to say anything until
I've
seen
it. What I will say is when you're watching it, watch out for the use of the colour green.
Okay.
That's all I'll say for now.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. When we come back next time, we will talk about our thoughts on these films, Psycho and Vertigo.
And meanwhile, hey, you watch them too. Oh, wait, hang on. We forgot about scores.
Oh, okay.
All right, so we agreed we would score films somewhere between 0 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
10 obviously being better than 0.
Yes.
Because that's something that people relate to, like, you know, school exams. My kids rate films that way.
Mm-hmm.
So for Forget Paris, Ricardo, what about you?
Four. Four out of 10.
You really didn't like it, did you?
No, look, I think I've explained all of that. I'll give it a 4.
Well, I love it, but I'm also... I can see some of its flaws, so I'm going 7.
Seven.
Seven.
Hang on a minute. Ten is a masterpiece. Ten is a masterpiece.
I was heading towards 8, but I'm going to pull myself back a little bit because I want room to grow.
8?
So I'm going 7.
7. Okay.
Forget Paris. I'm right.
So that's our first podcast, and there's going to be many more. So enjoy.
Fingers crossed.
That's right. Enjoy.